Tony Buzan is a brain expert. He's the past president of the Mensa Society, an organization only open to people who score in the top 2% on standardized IQ tests, and an author of several books on creativity, learning, and intelligence. According to him, and to many other authorities in the field, the mental potential of the average person is largely untapped and virtually unlimited. Your neocortex, your thinking brain, has approximately 100 billion cells, or neurons. Each of these cells bristles like a porcupine with as many as 20,000 ganglia, or fibers, that connect it to other brain cells. Each of these cells is, in turn, connected and interconnected to thousands and millions of other cells, like an electric grid that lights up and powers a large city. Each of these cells and each connection between these cells contains an element of mental energy or information that is available to every other cell. This means that the complexity of your brain is beyond belief or imagination. According to Tony Buzan and other brain experts, the number of combinations and permutations of brain connections that you have is greater than the number of molecules in the known universe. It would be the equivalent of the number 1 followed by 8 pages of zeros, row after row and page after page. As mentioned earlier, the average person uses about 1% or 2% of their brain capacity for 100% of their functioning in life and work. The rest is reserve capacity that is seldom tapped into or used for any reason. Most people go to their graves with their music still in them. You don't need to achieve a miracle to bring about spectacular results in your life. You only need to use a little more of your existing brain power than you are using today. This small improvement in your thinking ability can change your life so profoundly that both you and others will be astonished by what you accomplish in the months and years ahead. According to research conducted by Professor Sergey Yefremov in Russia some years ago, he concluded that if you could use just 50% of your existing mental capacity, you could complete the PhD requirements of a dozen universities, learn a dozen languages with ease, and memorize the entire 22 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. If you're currently using only 2% of your mental potential, and you could increase that to 4%, you could double your income, shoot ahead in your profession, rise to the top of your field, and transform your life. If you could use 5% or 6% or 7% of your potential, you would begin performing at a level that would amaze yourself and everyone around you. It was estimated that even Albert Einstein never used more than 10% to 15% of his mental potential at the height of his powers, and he was considered to be one of the greatest geniuses who ever lived. Fully 95% of children tested between the ages of 3 and 5 test out as highly creative. The same children, tested again as teenagers, test out as about 5% highly creative. What happened to them in the interim? Well, as they went through school, they were taught that if you want to get along, you go along. They learned not to challenge the teacher or to suggest unusual ideas. In their attempts to be liked and accepted by their peers, they allowed their creativity to die down, like a fire without fuel. The good news is that creativity is a natural and normal ability, possessed in quantity by virtually everyone. It is inborn, a part of your genetic structure, a faculty that is uniquely human. Everyone is creative. Fully 95% of the population has the ability to function at exceptional, if not genius levels, given the right situation and circumstances. But your creativity is like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. Just like a muscle, if you don't exercise your creativity and stretch it regularly, it becomes weak and ineffective. Your ability to generate ideas must be constantly utilized to be kept in top condition. Fortunately, at any time, you can begin tapping into your creativity and using it at a higher level. You can actually begin activating more neurons and dendrites in your brain, creating more and more connections and interconnections. Each time you use more of your existing brain power, you become even more capable of thinking better and with greater clarity. Today, We are in the information age. For the rest of your life, ideas will be the major source of new wealth. Ideas contain the keys to solving every problem. They are the most important tools for achieving any goals. And since your ability to generate new ideas is largely unlimited, your ability to achieve any goal you set for yourself is unlimited as well. All wealth comes from adding value, from producing more, better, cheaper, faster, and easier than someone else. One good idea for adding value for others is all you need to start a fortune. When you have clear goals written and rewritten, visualized and emotionalized, you trigger your conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds into generating a continuous flow of ideas for goal attainment. There's no problem that you cannot solve, no obstacle you cannot overcome, and no goal that you cannot achieve by tapping into your creative mind exactly as it is today. You have far more intelligence and mental potential right now than you could ever use, even if you lived 100 years. Just because you have not accessed all of your mental powers up until now does not mean that you cannot begin using them from this day forward. Physical fitness and mental fitness are very similar in some respects. If you want to become physically fit, you have to work out and engage in physical exercise. If you want to build physical muscles, you must pump iron and drive new blood into your muscles by straining them with dumbbells or barbells. The more stress you put on your muscles, the stronger they become over time. Your mind is very similar. In order to build your mental muscles, you have to pump mental iron. You have to put stress and strain on your brain, concentrating all of your mental energies to generate ideas and solutions and to solve problems on the way to your goals. The most powerful technique for improving your intelligence and increasing your creativity is what I call mindstorming. The way it works is simple. The results that you get will be so amazing as to be life-changing. You begin the mindstorming process by first getting a clean sheet of paper. At the top of this page, you write your goal or problem in the form of a question. The simpler and more specific the question, the better will be the quality of the answers that you generate in answer to it. For example, instead of writing a question like, "How can I make more money?" you would write, "How can I double my income in the next 24 months?" Even better, if you are earning $50,000 per year today, your question should be, "How can I earn $100,000 per year by December 31 of a specific year?" Each of your answers should be written using the 3P formula. It should be personal, positive, and in the present tense. In other words, your answers should be written as affirmations or instructions from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind. Often you will write down answers on this sheet and promptly forget them. Then, sometime later, as a result of superconscious functioning, you will attract into your life an opportunity to put one of your answers into action. Once you've written your question at the top of the page, you then discipline yourself to generate at least 20 answers to that question. You can write down more than 20 answers to the question, but it is essential in this exercise that you set a goal for a minimum of 20. Your first 3 to 5 answers will be easy. You will quickly come up with answers like work harder, start earlier and stay later, work on higher value tasks, and so on. Your next 5 answers will be more difficult. You'll have to drill down and dig deeper to come up with less obvious ways, but more creative ways to answer your question. Your last 10 answers will be the most difficult of all. Many people find this part of the exercise so difficult that their minds actually go blank. Their eyes glaze over. They become lightheaded with a rush of blood to their brains that takes place when you begin this process of pumping mental iron. However, no matter how long it takes, especially the first few times you practice this exercise, you must discipline yourself to keep writing until you have at least 20 answers. Sometimes the 20th answer that you generate will be the breakthrough answer that enables you to save yourself thousands of dollars and many hours of hard work. Often your last answer is the inspired idea that changes your life and career. Once you have at least 20 answers, go back over your list and review your answers. Then, select at least one action that you can take immediately to begin moving yourself more rapidly toward your goal or toward solving the problem. You can actually multiply the effectiveness of this process by taking the very best answer that you identified in the first list of 20 and writing it at the top of a fresh sheet of paper in the form of a new question. Then, see if you cannot generate 20 answers to that question as well. This combination exercise will rev you up mentally, like stepping on the accelerator of a car when the transmission is in neutral. Your mind will sparkle and dance with mental energy and bristle with ideas, like the bright lights of a Christmas tree. For example, your first question could be, how can I double my income to $100,000 over the next 24 months? One of your answers could be, I work 2 extra hours each day. You could then transfer this answer to a new sheet of paper and phrase it as a question. What can I do to get 2 extra hours of productive time each day? You can then begin writing 20 different things that you can do to save time, gain time, and spend 2 additional hours on productive work each day. Whatever answer you choose, put it into action immediately. Do something, do anything. The faster you take action on this exercise, the greater and more continuous will be the flow of ideas as you go throughout the day. If you generate these ideas and then do nothing with them, the creative flow will slow down and stop. The very best time to do this exercise is first thing in the morning, right after you have rewritten your goals in your spiral notebook. Each morning you can take one goal, rewrite it as a question, and then generate 20 answers to that question. You can then immediately get busy and implement one of your answers. You can perform this exercise repeatedly on the same goal if the goal is big enough and important enough to you. Don't worry about writing down the same answers over and over again. The more you practice this exercise, the more likely it is that you will trigger completely unexpected breakthrough ideas. This may require several days or even weeks of work before the flash of inspiration takes place. You must be patient and determined. It will come. Imagine that you were to perform this exercise every morning before you started out, 5 days per week. You can take the weekends off to relax your brain if you like. If you did this exercise 5 days per week, you would generate 100 ideas each week. If you practiced this exercise 50 weeks per year, you would generate 5,000 ideas over the course of the next 12 months. And you don't even have to think on your 2-week vacation. If you were then to implement one new idea each day to help you to move faster toward your goals, that would work out to one idea per day, multiplied times 5 days per week, multiplied times 50 weeks per year. This would amount to 250 new ideas per year that you would implement to improve your life. Now here's a question. Do you think that this exercise, conducted regularly, would have an impact on your life and future? In a world where the average person has very few ideas at all during the year, do you think that this exercise would give you an edge in your field? Do you think that if you did this every day, you would soon become wealthy and successful in anything to which you applied yourself? I think the answer is clear. One good idea can save you months or years of hard work or thousands of dollars. A multiple of good ideas, one after the other, building on each other, will make you rich, happy, and successful, virtually without fail. As I mentioned earlier, successful people are intensely solution-oriented. The fact is that life is a continuous succession of problems and difficulties without end. This river of problems is only interrupted by the occasional crisis, which makes the problems seem small in comparison. In fact, if you are living a busy life, you will probably experience a crisis of some kind every 2 to 3 months throughout your life. You will have business crises, family crises, financial crises, health crises, and other crises. The problems and crises never stop. They keep coming like the waves of the ocean. The only thing you can control is your responses to these problems and crises, and therein lies the key to your success. Successful people respond effectively to problems. Ineffective people do not. Successful people take a deep breath, relax, and think clearly. They look for the good in every situation. They seek the valuable lesson. Above all, they focus on the solution, on what can be done rather than what has happened and who is to blame. There is a methodology that you can use to solve any problem. It requires that you approach the business of problem-solving systematically and in an organized fashion. Just like there is a process for solving mathematical problems, there's a process for solving business and life problems as well, and you can learn it for the rest of your career. Step 1. Define the problem clearly. A problem properly defined is half solved. It's absolutely amazing how much time is wasted floundering around looking for a solution when no one is quite clear about the problem. Step 2. Ask, what are all the possible causes of this problem? Look for both the obvious and the not-so-obvious causes of the problem. How did it begin? What are its origins? What triggered it in the first place? What is the critical variable that changed to cause the problem to happen? What assumptions were made that led to the problem? Just like a doctor conducting an intensive examination on a sick patient, you should thoroughly dissect the problem before you attempt to solve it. Step 3. Ask, what are all the possible solutions? Avoid the natural tendency of most human beings to leap from a problem definition to a conclusion regarding a solution of some kind. Always ask, what else is the solution? Sometimes the best solution is to do nothing at all. Sometimes the best solution is to gather more information. Sometimes the best solution is to realize that this is not your problem and pass it on to someone else whose responsibility it is. Step 4. Once you have identified several possible solutions, ask, what must this solution accomplish? The only way that you can judge the attractiveness of a solution is to determine in advance what you want the solution to accomplish. You've heard it said that the operation was a success, but the patient died. It's very common for us to initiate a solution and implement it, but the problem is not only not solved, but it is worse than it was before we took action in the first place. Be sure that the solution you select will accomplish the purpose you had in mind when you started the problem-solving exercise in the first place. Step 5. Once you have decided on the ideal solution, assign specific responsibility or take responsibility yourself for implementing the solution. Set a deadline for implementation. Set a measure by which you can determine if the solution has been effective. A problem-solving discussion that does not lead to agreement on a specific solution, accompanied by the assignment of personal responsibility and a deadline, is a problem that will come back over and over again without resolution. Practice this systematic method of dealing with a problem over and over until it becomes a habit of thinking. You'll be amazed at how much more effective you become and how much better your results will be using this method. In studying warfare and battles over the centuries, I've always been fascinated by the situations where a smaller force defeated a numerically superior force. In every case, what I discovered was that the numerically smaller force was far better organized, more methodical, and more orderly in its plan of attack and execution than was the larger, more disorganized force. By the same token, an ordinary person with a system or recipe for problem solving can run circles around highly intelligent or well-educated people who throw themselves at their problems without a method or process for solving them. These two methodologies, mindstorming and the systematic approach, give you a tremendous advantage in mastering the inevitable problems and difficulties of life. Always be sure to think on paper. Write things down. There is something that happens between the brain and the hand when you write. You get a greater sense of clarity and understanding with regard to the issues involved. You think better. Your perception is sharper. You actually become smarter and more creative by the very act of writing everything down as you go along and before you make a decision. One of the most powerful creative thinking exercises you can practice is called scenario planning. In scenario planning, you play down the chessboard of life and you imagine what might happen sometime in the future. Even though the future is largely unknowable, certain trends taking place today will continue into the future. Certain events taking place around you will affect these trends, if not interrupt them in different ways. Completely unexpected events will arise that will require that you change your plans completely. In scenario planning, you ask yourself two questions. First, what are the three worst things that could possibly happen in the months or years ahead that would negatively affect my business or my personal life? Write them down. Be brutally honest with yourself. Refuse to wish or hope for the best. For example, imagine that your best customer went out of business or was unable to pay you for the products or services that you had sold to him. What would you do? How would you react? What steps could you take to guard against this eventuality? Next, ask yourself, what are the three best things that could possibly happen to me in the months and years ahead? With your answers to either of these questions, you can use mindstorming to prepare yourself for any eventuality. If it is a potential setback, ask yourself, how could we guard against this setback? Then, generate 20 answers to this question. If it's a possible opportunity, ask yourself, how could we increase the likelihood of this opportunity taking place, or take advantage of this opportunity as it is today? Write out 20 answers to this question as well. Each time you ask yourself one of these questions, like an electric spark, you will trigger ideas and insights. The more you think about these key questions, the more you will activate your superconscious mind to give you insights and flashes of inspiration that will enable you to seize opportunities or to avoid dangers. One of the most important parts of your personal philosophy should revolve around the development of options. The rule is, you are only as free as your well-developed alternatives. If your goal is to be happy, successful, and free, you must have choices. There must be more than one thing that you can do in every situation. You can never allow yourself to be trapped with only one course of action open to you. From the time you take your first job, make your first investment, or embark on any part of life, you should immediately begin to develop an alternative to that if something should go wrong. Frederick von Bismarck, the Iron Chancellor of 19th century Germany, was considered to be the finest statesman of his age. He was able to juggle competing nations, principalities, and powers against each other in the process of forming Germany into a unified national state. His political life was an endless process of negotiating back and forth, winning and losing, time after time. Bismarck was famous for always having a backup plan completely developed before he began negotiations on his main plan. This became known as a Bismarck plan, or a Plan B. You should always have a Plan B for the important parts of your business and personal life as well. What is your Plan B? What is your backup plan if your current job, career, industry, or course of action does not work out successfully? What is your backup plan if your current investments do not work out, or if your best-laid plans fail? What are your alternatives? What would you do if you found yourself out on the street tomorrow, or in the position of having to start over? The more options you have, the greater mental freedom you have as well. The more alternatives you have thought through and developed, the greater power you will have in any situation. The more that you have developed different courses of action, in case the one you are following doesn't work out, the greater confidence you will have. This is why one of the most important things you do throughout life is to increase the range of your freedom of action. Use your creativity to develop options and alternatives continually, no matter how well things are going at the moment. Your ultimate goal in your business and your career is to earn as much money as possible and to achieve financial independence. All profit, all financial success in our society comes from adding value of some kind. When you add value, you put yourself into a position to capture some of that value in the form of increased income, profit, or dividends. This is the basic law of all market economics and, like most basic laws, it is unknown or misunderstood by most people working in our society today. One of the questions you can ask in your mindstorming exercise is, what can I do to increase my value to my customers today? You might ask, who are my ideal customers? What can I do to attract more of my ideal customers into buying from me? Best of all, you should ask, what would I have to do to deserve more of exactly the kind of customers that I want to have? What could you do more of or start doing to be more deserving of having more of the customers you really want? Always be looking for ways to use your creativity to add value by doing things faster, better, cheaper, or easier in some way. Just as the word deserve comes from the Latin roots de and service, which mean from service, you should always be looking for ways to deserve greater rewards from serving your customers better in some way. In the final analysis, as a member of society, as a player in our economic system, your riches and rewards will come from your ability to serve other people better than your competitors. Use your intelligence and your creativity every single day to find ways to make yourself more valuable to your company, your industry, and your world. This is the true hallmark of personal genius. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, select your most important goal or biggest problem and write it at the top of a sheet of paper as a question. Then, discipline yourself to generate 20 answers to that question and implement one of those answers immediately. Second, approach every problem systematically by defining it clearly, developing possible solutions, making a decision, and then implementing the solution as soon as possible. And third, identify the best and worst things that could happen to you in the months ahead. Determine what you could do to reduce the effects of the worst outcomes and maximize the benefits or the likelihoods of the best outcomes. Many studies have been conducted over the years to try to determine why it is that some people are more successful than others. Hundreds and even thousands of salespeople, staff, and managers have been interviewed, tested, and studied in an attempt to identify the common denominators of success. One of the most important success factors discovered over and over again is the quality of action orientation. Successful people are intensely action-oriented. They seem to move faster than unsuccessful people. They are busier. They try more things, and they try harder. They start a little earlier, and they stay a little later. They are in constant motion. Unsuccessful people, on the other hand, start at the last moment necessary and quit at the first moment possible. They are fastidious about taking every minute of coffee breaks, lunch hours, sick leave, and vacations. They sometimes brag, "When I'm not at work, I never even think about it." We used to have an employee who was always late. When we spoke to him about this, he explained that his reason for being late was the traffic. We suggested to him that he leave earlier so that the traffic would not be a problem. He was shocked. He said, "But if I left earlier and there was no traffic, I might arrive at work earlier than my starting time. I couldn't possibly do that." Needless to say, we soon let him go and hired someone else with a greater sense of responsibility and commitment. We heard later that he has continued on with the endless round of part-time jobs and unemployment that has marked his career throughout his life. His attitude of doing the very least possible and starting at the last possible moment has set him up for failure time and time again. In his famous essay, Compensation, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote that you will always be compensated in life in direct proportion to the value of your contribution. If you want to increase the size of your rewards, you must increase the quality and quantity of your results. If you want to get more out, you have to put more in. And there is no other way. Napoleon Hill found that the key quality of successful men and women, most of whom started at the bottom, many of them penniless, was that early in life they developed the habit of going the extra mile. They discovered, as the old saying goes, that there are never any traffic jams on the extra mile. In one study of self-made millionaires, researchers interviewed thousands of men and women who had started with nothing and who had accumulated more than $1 million in the course of their careers. These self-made millionaires almost unanimously agreed that their success was the result of always doing more than they were paid for. They had made it a habit from their first jobs to always put in more than they took out. They were always looking for ways to contribute beyond what was expected of them. When I speak to a graduating class of business students, they often ask me, usually with some concern, if I can give them some suggestions or ideas on what they can do to be successful in the world of work. I always give them the same advice. It worked for me when I was a young man, and it works for everybody at every stage of his or her career. My advice consists of two parts. First, as soon as you get settled in at your new job and you're on top of your work, go to your boss and tell him or her that you want more responsibility. Tell him or her that you are determined to make the maximum contribution possible in this organization and that you would very much like more responsibility whenever it becomes available. When I first started doing this as a young executive with a large corporation, my boss nodded and smiled and thanked me for my interest. But nothing happened, at least for a while. Every few days I would report to my boss and mention in parting that I wanted more responsibility. After a few weeks of this, my boss gave me a project to study and evaluate. I jumped on it like a dog jumping on a bone and ran off. I worked day and night and throughout the weekend, tearing that project apart, gathering research, reassembling the details, and putting together a report and a proposal. On Monday morning, I was back to my boss with a complete proposal on the subject. He was obviously surprised. He said there was no rush. I didn't expect anything from you for a week or two. I thanked him for his concern and told him that this project evaluation is complete as you requested, and by the way, I would really like more responsibility. Things began to change for me very soon after that project evaluation. A week later, I was given another small task completely outside my range of duties. Again, I grabbed the task and completed it to the best of my ability. A week or two later, my boss gave me another task, and then a week later, still another task. In every case, whatever it was, whether I knew anything about it or not, I immediately went to work on it, often on my own time and on the weekends. I would get it done and back to my boss as fast as I could. This brings me to my second piece of advice for anyone who wants to be successful in his or her career. Once you get the responsibility that you have asked for, complete it quickly and well, and get it back to your boss as fast as you can, as though it was a grenade with a pin pulled out. Move quickly. Don't delay. It's absolutely amazing the positive impression you will make on other people when you keep asking for more responsibility, and when you get the responsibility, you complete the task quickly. Very soon, my boss had marked me down as the go-to guy. Whenever something came up that he needed handling immediately, he called me rather than any of the other executives, some of whom had been working there for several years. In no time, I began to move up in the organization. One day, he threw me a task, like a football to a tight end in a close game, which I caught and ran with for a touchdown. By acting quickly, flying 1,000 miles and working day and night, I discovered a fraud and saved the company $2 million. If I had delayed even a couple of days, the money would have been lost forever. After that success, the dam broke. First, I was given a large assignment, then responsibility for an entire new division, then another division, and then a third. By the time I had been working for that company for 2 years, I was running 3 divisions involving almost $50 million worth of business activities and managing a staff of more than 50 people in 3 offices. Meanwhile, my co-workers were still coming in at 9 o'clock sharp, going for lunch with each other, and quitting at 5 o'clock to go for drinks at the bar. They muttered and told each other that the reason I was moving up was because I was lucky, or the boss was playing favorites. They never learned the importance of asking for more responsibility and moving fast. The retiring president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce many years ago told a story at his going-away dinner. He had become one of the most respected business people in America and overseas. He had developed the kind of reputation for high-quality work that every person in business dreams of having. He said that when he was a young man, unsuccessful and frustrated, he came across a saying written on a brown lunch bag and posted on a high school bulletin board. As he passed the bulletin board, something caused him to stop, and he read the words on the lunch bag. They said, "Your success in life will be in direct proportion to what you do after you do what you are expected to do." He told the audience that these words changed his life. Up to that time in his career, he felt that he was doing a good job because he was doing what he had been told to do, what he was expected to do. But from that point onward, he resolved that he would do far more than what was expected of him. He resolved that he would always go the extra mile and do more than he was paid for. From that day onward, for the rest of his career, he got up a little earlier, worked a little harder, and stayed a little later. He moved faster from task to task and from customer to customer. And here is what always happens. The faster he moved, the more experience he got. The more experience he got, the better he got at his job. The better he got at his job, the better results he got in the same period of time. In no time at all, he was being paid more and promoted faster. By moving faster and always doing more than expected, he had shifted onto the fast track in his career and began moving ahead rapidly. He was soon promoted into a new department, then hired into a new industry, and given a new area of responsibility. In each case, he had one strategy. Do more than you're paid for. Do more than others expect. Go the extra mile. Get busy. Get going. Take action. Don't waste time. And he never looked back. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Determine never to be idle. No person will have occasion to complain of the want of time who never loses any. It is wonderful how much may be done if we are always doing." Later, he wrote, "The rising sun has never caught me in bed in my entire life." Here's an important point. The time is going to pass anyway. The weeks, months, and years of your life are going to go by in any case. The only question is, what are you going to do with this time? Since the day is going to go past in any case, why not start a little earlier, work a little harder, and stay a little later? Why not put yourself on the side of the angels? Why not develop a reputation as the go-to guy or gal who everyone looks to when they need to get something done quickly and well? This will do more to put your foot on the accelerator of your career than anything else you can imagine. There's a key to high income called the momentum principle of success. This principle says that it takes considerable energy to get yourself into motion and moving, but it takes much less energy to keep yourself moving once you get going. This momentum principle explains success as much as any other factor. Successful people are busy people. They get up and they get going and they keep going all day long. They work all the time they work. They're constantly in motion, like moving targets. Successful people plan their days and hours and even their quarter hours very carefully. In every study, there seems to be a direct relationship between tight time planning and high income. The highest paid professionals in our society, from whom come fully 25% of self-made millionaires in America, are lawyers, doctors, and other medical professionals. Every one of them manages their time in terms of minutes spent on each case or with each patient. The people who earn the very least in our society are those who think of their time in terms of the day, the week, the month, or even the year. They have no problem wasting the first half of the day. They justify this by saying they will catch up in the afternoon. Sometimes they waste the first couple of days of the week. They think that they will catch up later on in the week. Sometimes they waste the first 1 or 2 weeks of the month. I've worked with countless sales organizations over the years. Fully 80% of the salespeople in these organizations, all of whom work on monthly quotas, take it easy for the first 3 weeks of the month and then suddenly go into a state of frantic activity during the last week, working desperately to make enough sales to hit their quotas. But not the top people. The top people work on the first day of the month with the same focus and intensity that they worked on the last day of the previous month. They hit the road running like the Roadrunner, with his legs moving under him. They put the pedal to the metal at 7 or 7:30 in the morning. They beat the rush hour traffic by getting in before anyone else. And they beat the rush hour traffic in the evening by staying and working long after everyone else has rushed out to sit on the freeway. Mentally and physically, the faster you move, the more energy you have. The faster you move, the more positive you feel. The faster you move, the happier you are. The faster you move, the more enthusiastic and creative you become. The faster you move, the more you get done, and the more you get paid, and the more successful you feel. Apply the momentum principle to your life. Once you start going, keep going. Alan Lakin, the time management specialist, said, "Fast tempo is essential to success." Tom Peters said that all successful people have a bias for action. The key to getting more things done is for you to select your most important task and then to start it with a sense of urgency. This is the real key to success and high achievement. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, resolve today to pick up the pace in your life. Move faster from task to task. Walk quickly. Develop a higher tempo of activity. Second, imagine you were going away tomorrow for a month and you had to get caught up on everything before you left. Work as hard and as fast as you do just before you leave for vacation. Third, practice tight time planning. Imagine that you only had half the time available to get the job done and work with a sense of urgency all day long.